In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul said farewell to the Ephesian elders, the leaders of the church in Ephesus. Now, he'd only been there 3 years, which isn't much, I don't think, really. But who am I to criticize the Apostle Paul? But God moved him on, and he makes a lengthy statement to them that describes his ministry in their midst. And it, as I read this and thought about it, I thought, I wish I could say that, you know. And as I reflected upon it, I believe what we read in Acts chapter 20 describes the testimony that I want to leave behind. Now, please understand, I'm not going to profess to have completely accomplished all the things we're going to talk about, but it has been a goal. It has been a desire of my heart. And I think that as we look at these things, it really ought to be the goal for every Christian to follow this pattern, this example set by the Apostle Paul. And I would challenge you tonight that you ought to live in such a way as to maintain a good testimony. Look at what Paul says, beginning in chapter 20 of the book of Acts, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, Paul had a little southern in him, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. When Paul spoke these words to the Ephesians, he was describing how he had functioned and ministered in their midst in the 3 years that he was there. And I think he left behind a tremendous testimony. And as I look at this, there are five things that I see that I want to leave behind as a testimony. Five things that I think every one of us ought to strive to become the testimony of our lives and our service for God. The first is conviction without covetousness. The second is consistency without conceit. The third is compassion without compromise. The fourth is commitment without complaint. And the fifth is completion without contamination. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for this evening, for this local church, for our fellowship together. Thank you for those folks you brought here tonight and the reports we've already heard of your work around the world and what a privilege it is to have a part in sending the gospel to the regions beyond us. I pray, Father, that might always be the heartbeat of this local church. And I pray now that as we look at your word, that you'd fill me with your spirit, help me to say the things that ought to be said in the way they ought to be said. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and challenge us. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One thing that I think Paul demonstrated in his testimony is conviction without covetousness. Now, the conviction part is pretty obvious as he demonstrated his convictions on the Word of God. Verses 26 and 27, he said, Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. But if you'll notice verse 33, he says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. It sort of reminds me of Samuel's, not his last words, but words that he spoke before the children of Israel in his toward the end of his ministry in chapter 12 of 1 Samuel, when he said, witness against me. I have not defrauded anybody. I have not taken things for personal advantage. I have not bent the ministry out of some kind of covetous motivation. Basically said, I haven't been bribed. And I think that there's a temptation in the ministry to maybe trim the message a little bit to keep happy people that are putting money in the offering plate. Okay? To be real honest with you. There is that temptation, but it's something that every man of God has to rise above and say, that's irrelevant, because we have some convictions that need to be imparted based upon the Word of God. And that's the kind of testimony that I think all of us ought to aspire to have, that I'm going to live by conviction, not seeking material gain as a consequence, but living by conviction. Now, you may apply that in a different way than I as a preacher would apply it, but the principle is still true. Sometimes people, in order to gain material advantage, will set aside certain convictions, maybe in the education of their children even, thinking, if I trim the sails a little bit, my kids can make more money if they go to a certain school or get a certain degree or whatever it might be. I don't know how you might be tempted to apply this in your life, but let me say that we need to live by convictions without covetousness. If the motivation of our life is material goods, then we cannot properly serve and honor God. You cannot serve God and mammon. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. You know, no matter how much money you have, you'll never have enough. If money is your goal, if that is your ideal, if that is your focus, you'll never have enough of it to be satisfied. And therefore, every one of us ought to serve the Lord with a desire to have the testimony of we're living by convictions, not covetousness. I think the Apostle Paul demonstrated that. That's the kind of testimony I would like to leave behind as I step down from this position at Emmanuel Baptist Church, that I serve by conviction without covetousness. Now, let me say this. This church, as my wife has expressed, has taken abundant care of us and gone way beyond anything even reasonable. Okay, you've more than adequately supplied our needs. You have been so generous and kind to us. And it isn't just because of money. It's because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we know that means you've invested your hearts in us. And we're grateful for that. But you know, whatever it is you do for God, the motivation ought to be to advance the cause of Christ and not yourself. And I want to leave behind that kind of testimony that I served with conviction without covetousness. But the second thing I see here is I think Paul served with consistency without conceit. Notice verses 18 and 19. When they were come to him, he said to them, "You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. You know how I've ministered from the very first day and all the time." That's consistency that Paul describes here. And then he says in verse 19, "serving the Lord with all humility of mind." So he describes the testimony of consistency without conceit. You know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, you and I, as we live our lives and serve God, should be consistent. The Bible does not change. It's forever settled in heaven. It still says the same thing in 2012 that it said in whatever year I started here, 1992. The Bible still says the same thing. It has not changed, so the ministry shouldn't change. Oh, I don't mean that we can't get some better technology and that sort of thing and maybe a newer bus or whatever, you know. But I do mean that the ministry, the doctrine, the philosophy, that ought not change. And yes, over the years, there have been some highs and there have been some lows. Okay, whether it be financially or attendance-wise or whatever way you want to look at the ministry, there are highs and lows. But, you know, we have to be careful. We don't get too high on the highs and don't get too low on the lows. Because we're still dealing with the same Bible, which never changes. It's forever settled in heaven. We're still following the same Lord, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have an immutable God. He cannot change. And we ought to be consistent. The Apostle Paul challenged people to be instant in season and out of season. In season is when everybody else is doing it. It's easier to do it in season, when it's the thing to do. But sometimes out of season is a harder time. In season, it's pretty easy. Out of season, it's tougher. But we are to be instant in season and out of season. That sounds like God wants us to be consistent in our ministry. But that's nothing to brag about. Because Paul said he served with all humility of mind. That consistency ought to be coupled with a humility. Or, as I've said it here, consistency without conceit. Our concept, when God uses us, ought to be this. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. That doesn't make us special. That gets us up to zero. When I have done what I ought to do, that gets me up to zero. I've paid a debt. You know, when you buy a house and you send that monthly mortgage payment, you might get a receipt, but there's not a whole lot of thanks that come from the bank for having paid your mortgage. In fact, just to test that, go a couple months without doing it, and you'll see they're not grateful at all for what you have sent them, you know. They don't think it's special that you pay your monthly obligation, right? Why? That's your responsibility. And when we do something for God, that's nothing to brag about or take credit for. We've just done what was our duty. That gets us up to zero as far as that particular event is concerned. You know. But let's be consistent. Let's don't be hot and cold and in and out, up and down and on and off. You know, though life will have its ups and downs, let's just keep on keeping on. All of us at times face circumstances that are unpleasant, things that may tend to discourage us, and yet we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so Paul had this testimony of consistency without conceit. I want to have that kind of testimony. I think third, he had a testimony of compassion without compromise. Notice verses 19 and 20. He says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. You have, Paul said, you've seen me from the first day I was here and the way I've been in all seasons. I've served the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. Then he goes on to say, and temptations or trials which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Now skip down to verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Twice in this passage, he speaks of his compassion as represented by the tears. But at the same time, he demonstrated that compassion without compromise. Because he said, I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. You know, sometimes, and the new evangelicals have, I think, succumbed to this concept often, the desire to show compassion has motivated people to compromise Bible principles in order to be accepting of people. They've sometimes swept aside Bible principles that ought not be compromised. You know, you and I didn't write the Bible. We don't have a right to say this part's unimportant and that part's important. Okay? We didn't write it. It's not our book by virtue of authorship. Okay? And yes, we always need to be compassionate toward people. Never should a fundamentalist be unkind, though many are. But it's never right. Okay? You know, we hear this phrase, fighting fundamentalists. And it just seems like those two words just go together so well. You know, fighting fundamentalists. Whatever happened to a loving fundamentalist? Whoever heard such a thing, you know? But I believe that that's what Jesus was. And I believe it's what the Apostle Paul was. He didn't cut corners in the message, but he loved people. And that's the kind of testimony every one of us ought to have. That we have compassion without compromise. That we love people and hate sin at the same time. Jesus had this great balance. The Bible says he was full of grace and truth. The grace demonstrates his compassion. The truth demonstrates his unwillingness to compromise. And that's the kind of balance we all ought to have in our ministry and service for God. That we should be compassionate. We should love people. We should be concerned about what they're going through, but at the same time, not compromise the principles of the Word of God just to get acceptance from people. That's the kind of testimony I want to leave behind. A testimony of compassion without compromise. Fourth, I see that Paul had this testimony of commitment without complaint. In verses 22 to 24, he said, "Now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save or except that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy," and so on. But notice, he said, I'm going to face some tough situations. Bonds, afflictions, the lying in wait of the Jews. There'll be people who oppose me, who will persecute me, who will want to end my ministry. There'll be people that I'm going to have to deal with. They're going to be hard things to go through. But he said, none of these things move me. I have a commitment that I've made to God. I know that it's going to entail some hard times. But I want to have the testimony of a commitment without complaint. You know, one thing that bugs me is people who always are talking about how busy they are. In this world today, who isn't? It seems like we just want to impress one another. Oh, I'm so busy. I've got so many things to do. I am so important. Well, be glad you can be busy. You know, if you were disabled, lying in a bed somewhere, you'd wish you could be busy. I think we ought to have the desire of having the testimony that we have a commitment to God without complaint. You see, every ministry has its difficult times. Except for this church, of course. But other places, there are tough times that come. There are sometimes preachers face opposition. I tell you, I have thoroughly enjoyed this sweet spirit you folks have demonstrated here at Emmanuel for 2 decades. What a blessing that has been. But I know a lot of my friends in the ministry don't have it that well. I know that there are some who are struggling, facing opposition and burdens, and some financially strapped, either themselves personally or the ministry, and they dread going to their own church business meetings because of animosity and hostility and selfishness and those kind of things being demonstrated. And there are hard things to face in the ministry. I know some missionaries that have gone to fields in the world where it's been really, really tough. As Pastor Ogle mentioned tonight, we have some that are struggling right now. Godly people. Going through some real testing, as Paul described here, the temptations, the testings that he faced, and the things that he knew he was going to encounter when he went to Jerusalem. Tough times. And the truth is, in one measure or another, when you serve God, you will encounter some difficulties with it. Not everybody you minister to is going to be grateful for your ministry. And they're not all going to be cooperative. They're not all going to be appreciative. They're not all going to tell you you're doing a great job. Keep it up. I can remember a statement made to me by a teenager when I was youth pastor in 1972 or something like that. 73 maybe. I can remember word for word the statement. Okay, I'll tell you why I can remember it so precisely. It's because it hurt so badly when I heard those words. I'm not going to bore you with the details any further, but I'm simply saying There are things in a ministry that are tough at times. Hard things to deal with in any ministry. But we need to make a commitment without complaint. The Apostle Paul got in a mood to kind of list the perils he was facing in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, every place he looked, it was perils, peril, peril, peril. Problems, difficulties, hard times. But what he says right here, none of these things move me. I don't even count my life dear unto myself, let alone money, etc. You know, none of these things move me. I have a commitment to serve and follow God. That's what Paul is saying. That's the kind of testimony I want to leave behind. A commitment without complaint. I will tell you this, when you serve the Lord, the blessings far, far, far outweigh the burdens. But the truth is, if we went through life without any difficulties, we'd never develop any strength. We'd never learn to really rely upon God. If it were too easy, if we didn't have any bumps in the road, we would certainly not have an appreciation for what God has done through us. And we probably would be so carnal that we wouldn't rely upon Him for help. When is it you pray most fervently? You know, the Bible does say the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When do you pray the most fervently? Is it in the easy times or in the hard times? I think every one of us knows the answer to that question. It's in the hard times that we pray most fervently. And that's the kind of prayer that God says avails much. And truthfully, we are so carnal. I say we, I'm talking about myself, and I assume you're as bad as I am. We are so carnal that unless we're challenged, we don't pray very fervently. I want to have the testimony of commitment without complaint. Then I see one other thing here in Paul's testimony. I believe that we ought to have the testimony of completion without contamination. Notice in verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. And notice the rest of this verse. So that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The completion, I'm sure, is obvious to you there when he said that I might complete my course. But I say completion without contamination because he said I want to complete it with joy. I don't want to end with regret. I don't want to end with heartache. I don't want to end with realization I blew it. Just this week I heard of a pastor friend who got tired of the ministry, got tired of not having money. He got tired of his marriage. He resigned his church, walked away from his family and divorced his wife. This man has been in the ministry for decades. I cannot believe he finished his course with joy, but rather with contamination instead, with regret. I have a hunch that if the Lord tarries and lets him live another year or two, the regrets are going to overwhelm him. You just can't turn your back on God and walk away and be happy about it. It doesn't work that way. Far too often we hear of people in the ministry throwing away the ministry for the sake of temporary lust of the flesh, running off with a secretary or whatever it might be, They're not finishing their courses with joy, but with heartache and regret. Paul said, I want to finish with joy. And you know, a little later, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I don't think Paul was bragging. In fact, when he said, I fought a good fight, he's not even necessarily saying, I fought it well. He's saying it was a good fight that I got involved in. Okay. He was not bragging. But he did say, I finished right. I kept the faith. I finished the course God set for me. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I think he had the testimony of completion without contamination. To the Ephesians, he said, I've finished my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus. I've finished the course with joy. Not regret, not heartache, not shame, not disgrace, but with joy. And you know, the only way you can finish with joy is if you finish without contamination. You know, I think every one of us ought to aspire to having this kind of testimony that we leave behind. That I didn't quit, got the job done that God wanted me to do, and I did it with joy. And I finished what God wanted me to do. That's the kind of testimony I want to have. Again, would you think of these five concepts and look at your own heart and see if this could be said of you? First of all, conviction without covetousness. Second, consistency without conceit. Third, compassion without compromise. Number four, commitment without complaint. And number five, completion without contamination. That's the testimony I want to leave behind. I do not claim to have accomplished all of that. It's still a goal. But I believe that these concepts ought to be before the eyes of every one of us as we live our lives and serve God, to try to establish and leave behind that same kind of testimony that the Apostle Paul demonstrated. As you think of those things, could they be said of you? I don't mean that you're perfect. If you think you've totally accomplished all this, then you're probably not being honest with yourself. Right? But have you been willing to accept this kind of a challenge? If not in the past, would you be willing to accept this challenge tonight? That if the Lord tarries and lets you live and serve Him in whatever capacity it may be, to desire to leave behind this kind of testimony. Would you bow your heads, please, with me?